are listening to Elevating Employee Experience. I am your host, Josh Drain, and I am so grateful to be joined here today by Kevin Grossman. How are you today, Kevin?
I'm great, Josh. Thanks for having me. So glad to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, you know, I live in Boston and you are coming to us from Santa Cruz, so I guess I'm not as good as you are.
Well, for us, this is why I don't talk about weather when you get into the fall time for the Bay Area, but for us, it is cool and cold, so I'll give you that.
All right. Well, good. Serves you right for having such beautiful weather most of the time.
There you go.
Well, Kevin, thanks for joining us. You are the president of Talent Board HR. Tell us a little bit about your operation, how you got into this, and where you find your talent lies.
So the Talent Board was founded 10 years ago, and it was really kind of this labor of love idea from three individuals in the recruiting space: Elaine Orler, Jerry Crispin, and Ed Newman. And their idea was, listen, we talk so much about how horrible of an experience it is for a lot of job candidates across industries, companies big and small. Let's do something. Let's get some survey research going. Let's ask employers what they're doing, ask their candidates what they're experiencing. Let's shine a light on not only what's not working, but what is. And companies who are really doing a better job at communicating with their candidates, and a whole list of things that we can talk about in this podcast too. Let's focus on that. So I was one of the early volunteers at the time after the program was started. And then a few years later, they asked me if I wanted to come on and start helping to run it. And now 5 years on, I've been running it. And we're a small educational nonprofit, small research team, an advisory board that we have that helps guide us as well, which includes two of those three co-founders that I referenced. And every year we do this candidate experience benchmark research with companies big and small across industries around the world.
And tell us, what does that research entail, and what are you looking for?
So what we're doing is we're asking employers, listen, tell us anonymously and confidentially what it is you're doing, what your recruiting and hiring process looks like, and the tools and technologies you use, the activities that you engage in, and how you would self-assess your own hiring process, meaning how would you rate yourself? Then we in turn work with them to target a population of their job candidates, most of whom are those that don't get hired at the end of the day. There are some hires that they ask for feedback from, but we're trying to help companies understand that sheer volume of people that they don't hire over time can impact their business and their brand. So we survey those candidates and then give that feedback back to the employer, and it's anonymous and confidential for the candidates as well. And then talk with them about their strengths and weaknesses and how they compare against other companies across industries. Again, i.e. and the averages that we see every year, the benchmarks in North America, EMEA, APAC, and now Latin America is what we then share in our research reports, articles, webinars with the industry.
Wow, very good. And what's the target demographic for that? Who's finding these reports useful?
Primarily the people that are in recruiting and hiring, so HR and talent acquisition leaders and their teams, big and small. Again, even for smaller companies, there's lots of takeaways, and mid-sized to larger organizations. So it's going to be those individuals that are focused on. And not just external hiring either, because there's also an aspect of internal mobility. So for companies, because there are individuals who may want to still stay at a company, but they want to try out another opportunity. Maybe whether that's in the same business unit or division or whatever the case is. So it could also, this also includes current employees of companies that we would argue, the way we look at it at Talent Board, Josh, is that we're all perpetual candidates all the time. Even when we're gainfully employed or not, or unemployed, or whatever the case is, we're all potential candidates. So we're looking at it for an external and internal as well.
Wow. That's a lot of work. And do you feel like, where's the passion for you? How did you find yourself doing this work, and where do you find the joy in doing it?
Probably because when I was first and I was working at the time for another organization, actually one of the solution providers in the HR recruiting space, so a recruiting technology company. I was passionate about volunteering initially because we all have a bad story when it comes to being a job candidate. We all have, some are more visceral than others and some more potentially even more toxic than others, but we have both good and bad for that matter, those experiences. And it is an area that has always, in the over 20 years that I've been in the HR recruiting technology space, which has been really the bulk of my tenure, to know that when we have a really, really bad experience with a potential employer, Josh, we don't want to do anything again with that employer, like ever.
True.
We don't want to apply ever again. We don't want to refer others. We'll never do that. And we'll never buy stuff if it's a consumer-based business. And so, but I always wanted to see the other side of that too, because there are those. I mean, listen, for 99 out of 100 people, they're not going to get the job for any given job that apply for that job. It's not going to happen. So there's a whole bunch of people that are just not, are going to be passed on, and that experience that they have, however limited it may be, depending on how far, what that duration of the recruiting process was for them, that's going to impact their perception of that business and that brand. So it can be positive as well, though. We see that all the time in our data and research. That's why I was fascinated and why I still love doing this work every year.
Yeah, I can see how that would keep you going. I mean, just the fact that employees might be miserable at their job or might end up hating that experience so much so that they never want to talk to that person again. Sounds like a relationship to me. Sounds like, you know, it's a bad breakup.
Well, it is. I mean, recruiting has always been kind of viewed like that, right? It's matchmaking. It's, do we want to get together or not? And then stay together. Am I gonna hire you? And you know, it's for most, when I always equate it to being just a customer at a company, as a customer, I have a choice every day. Do I want to buy this thing or not? As a candidate, you don't have that choice. You put your hat in the ring, as they say, but most of those folks, again, aren't going to be, they're not going to be dated. They're not going to be, you know, wooed by the company. And, but it's important because that perception over time can really eat away. I mean, you just talk to any company, you know, I remember, oh God, over 10 years ago now, at a HR conference talking to, and at the time Glassdoor had been a pretty new company at the time, and asking a lot of the HR recruiting folks on the bus back to the hotel, you know, has anybody heard of this? And no, but you can bet your bottom dollar now that companies, you know, all these employer review sites, right? Glassdoor, Indeed, Fairy Godboss, the list goes on, that they're monitoring the reviews that they get on those sites.
Yeah, man, what an interesting world we live in, where I feel like the power that employers used to have, where it's like, you're grateful to have a job, you know, I set the rules and you have to do it this way, to now we have these sites like Glassdoor who really give the power back to the consumer, quote unquote, or the employee to say, hey, like, people are not having a good experience, which means top talent doesn't want to work for me, which means less productivity, which means less revenue, which means big problems.
Well, that's exactly how the dots connect. Yes. And companies depend on referrals, right? In fact, I was just on a webinar earlier, with the topic was referrals and referral programs. And we think of referrals always in the context of current employees, that their willingness or not to say, hey, dear friend of mine over here, you should come work at this company. So that is one thing, but referrals can come from anywhere. They can come from customers. They can come from the candidates themselves who don't get hired. They can come from alums, people who used to work at the company. They can come from a lot of sources, and companies depend on those, right? They depend on those. And if my brand is being eaten away because we're just not treating people very well. We're not communicating with them. We're not giving them definitive closure when we're not going to pursue them any further. That can start eating away at the referrals themselves. And that's something that's, you know, very, very important to companies. And you know, think about this, Josh. Pre-COVID, we had the lowest unemployment in decades, right? We were in nothing. In fact, pre-COVID, Talent Board was only measuring candidate experience in nothing but a growth market. And yet, for the past few years, up until at least the beginning of this year, what we call candidate resentment, so the percentage of candidates who say they'll never do anything again with that company based on a poor experience, that was increasing. But this year, it has fallen off the chart, not off the chart all the way, but dropped dramatically. And now, you know, it's not a candidate market anymore, right? There's millions of people, unfortunately, still out of work, still looking for work. And we still are in a pandemic. That's not going away yet, even though we have vaccines on the horizon. So there's still a lot of impact on us, you know, industries like food and beverage and restaurants and travel and leisure and many others that are been severely impacted. But at the end of the day, it's still about how am I treating not only my candidates, but how am I treating my employees and doing the best that we can to keep the business moving forward and keep communicating. That's a key thing.
I love it. And do you have a hypothesis of why there was such a downturn? I know that there are so many factors that went into it, particularly a lot of people losing their jobs and everything changing.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. So I think what we saw this year in our data, and we're just in the process now of writing up the research from the 2020 data sets that we captured, but the employers were put into this level of forced transparency like no other that they've never been in before. So when everything locked down the first time, what do we tell our candidates who are getting ready for in-person interviews that we can't do now? And how do we, you know, now we have to pivot to a virtual environment. What do we tell the new hires that had start dates that now we have to put on hold? Because we have to wait, we have to figure out, what do we tell our employees? Maybe there was furloughs and layoffs that had to occur. What do we tell them how we're trying to keep the business alive and moving forward? So this empathetic level of communication was really supercharged between employers, candidates, and employees more than we've seen in recent years. And candidates also are more forgiving because it's a completely different world in a very short period of time. When we all think back on it, it's almost like we still all have whiplash, but it was quick. We went from one to another in the one extreme to the next when it came to recruiting and hiring. Now, there's still industries that have fared better than others. I mean, finance and insurance and healthcare and services, some services sectors and technology and some consumer goods and others that have fared okay, are better than those who have been hit pretty hard. But it is, it's at the end of the day, it's still how are we treating our people? How are we treating our candidates? Is there consistent communication? Is it definitive closure when we're not going to pursue somebody any further? If those things are practiced, then there tends to be what we call a higher level of perceived fairness in the process. It's not about happy. It's not about happy, because I'm only going to be happy if I get hired.
Yeah,
if I don't get hired, then I'm only going to be. So it's about, do I feel like it was fair? And that's very subjective, but it is something that we see every year that's clear in the data and the research that if it is fair, then it is the perception of fairness is there. Then their candidates are more likely to have more positive things and more ratings to give to those employers. That's what we see.
I see. Cool. So my question then is, how do we move forward? What the future is uncertain to a degree, but you know, with your research, which helps so much, there is a path forward. What are you discovering is the best route to make this happen?
The hardest thing that we see for companies is that initially, you know, they may understand or whether they do research like through our program or do their own feedback surveys with candidates and understand what some of their strengths and weaknesses are, identify some improvements that they want to make in their recruiting process, and they make them, and then they see that they get higher positive ratings the next time around. The hardest thing though is sustaining that over time, because there are so many things that are impacting the business. I mean, who plans for a pandemic?
Right.
Right. I mean, it's, and so the thing that I recommend for companies to go forward is that you're not going to ever do it right, everything right all the time. It's just not going to happen. But if you focus on how you're communicating with your candidates, with your employees, from the automation side, which for a lot of candidates in the early stages, if I research and apply, that's the experience for most candidates. They don't go any farther than that.
I see.
And for any company of scale and hiring volume, that's only going to be mostly automated. So the messages that I get are already built into the system, or companies, you know, update the communications, but that's all I'm going to get. So, but if it's clear, consistent, definitive, personable yet professional and timely, if knowing what we know about most job candidates, if most people aren't qualified for any given job, and the numbers show that's the case, that for a specific job, then let those people know sooner than later. Tell them, we appreciate your time and your application, but we're not going to pursue you at this time. Best of luck to you. Whatever that process is, but don't wait weeks later until you've actually filled the position to then tell the other candidates, sorry, we appreciate your time. Do it. If you're not going to pursue somebody, tell them, even if it's automated. I mean, that's something that we would recommend for especially companies that are getting surges, Josh, of applications because of the people who are out of work. Again, my heart goes out to everybody that's looking for a job, but not everybody's going to be qualified for every job.
And
so that's the key thing, I would think.
This has been very enlightening, Kevin. Thank you so much for walking us through some of these elements. We really appreciate it. And I know that there are individuals right now listening who are thinking, we need to know more. We need to get this guy on our side and learn what he knows. What's the best way to keep in touch with you or to get in touch with Talent Board?
So I'm happy to connect with people on LinkedIn. So you can find me easily at Kevin Grossman on LinkedIn. And again, under the Talent Board even, and then go to the talentboard.org, which is our website where we have lots of free resources, our research that we've done, webinars, the list goes on. We're launching a new professional development program next year, a 6-week program to be a certified candidate experience recruiting professional. So that's something that's based on 10 years of our research. So, but that's where you go. You go to the talentboard.org.
Very cool. Well, it's been so great having you on the show again today. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we can chat further and keep the conversation going.
Great. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.